Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our heads in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our heads in worship as we bless your holy name.
You deserve the glory
and the honor.
Your name is Yahweh.
You're a miracle working God. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God. Your name. You want to declare it. Your name, your name, your name is
Yahweh.
Hey.
Your name is Yahweh.
You are a miracle working God.
You're a miracle
working God.
Your name,
your name, your name, your name, your name. Your name is Yahweh. Somebody bless him. Bless him in this place. Your name is Yahweh. Miracle working God. Your name is. Your name is Yahweh.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Yeshua. Great God, awesome God, good God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. We praise your name, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That is worthy to be in praise. Hallelujah. And so we praise your name. We give you glory, Lord Jesus. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother Elvis Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for the opportunity to be able to share his word, his revelation that he has given us for the last days before the return of Jesus. Jesus is about to return for his bride that have made herself ready. My brother, my sister, time is running out for the world. Time is running out. The Lord is coming for his people. Shalom, Brother Miguel, Arley, Brother Joseph, the Lord's servant. Shalom to each and one of you. Amen. Hope everyone are doing great. Everyone is repenting and seeking the Lord, seeking to be going home with Jesus, knowing and understanding that our time is very practically gone. And so very soon we'll be in heaven with the Lord, and all this will be left behind. In our mind, we will have barely little memory of this life once we are taken out, my brother and my sister. So whatever we can do for anyone, we have to do it now before it's too late. So I know I'm preaching the last of the last of the message the Lord has given me. There's not much. Shalom, Sisterino Rivero. There's not much to be in preach anymore because, hallelujah, time is just too short. But, excuse me, we're being obedient to the Lord and want to go ahead and preach his word and his revelation as the Lord said for me to do. And to me in heaven, thank you, Lord, to... Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. We are so grateful. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for choosing us, selected us for this work, for his kingdom. My brother, my sister, thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray you help my brothers and sisters log in tonight and billions and trillions of our angels, archangels, and sheriff, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Help my brothers and sisters to log in, Lord, and stay logging in. Be able to listen and be blessed tonight. In Jesus' name, let your presence, your anointing, your blood come on every listener listening. We bind the strong man of hindering spirit for not to service the west up and down in Jesus' name. Minister to every life. Help your people to log in, Lord. Let it be through Safari, Chrome, Marcella, Lord. Any other browser, Lord, allow your people to log in. Help them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. So time is practically out. The Bride of Christ will be home very, very soon. So whatever we're going to do for anyone, we have to do it quickly and do it faithfully. Whatever we're going to do for anyone, we need to do whatever word, whatever revelation we will have to share from the Lord. We need to do it because time is practically gone. We're looking to judgment coming up on our nations within days. Things are going to start changing, my brother and sister, because the Lord has said so. We know it's going to be so because he's never wrong. Everything he says, he fulfills. My brother, my sister, and as the Lord says to me, they will see. They will see. Times have come for people to see and testify what they're going to see. We just hope that it's not too late to some, but that they'll be able to repent, turn to the Lord, seek the Lord with all their heart, not lean on their own understanding before it's too late. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now is the time that, hallelujah, to stay consecrated with the Lord and just look unto Jesus. My brother and sister, stay close to the Lord. Stay connected with the Lord and pray and fasting. As much as you can, cry out to the Lord for help. The Lord will help you. Thank you, Jesus. He is good. He is awesome. My brother, my sister, he's a great God. Thank you, Lord. I'm starting to think now, which should I start first? Amen. Thank you, Lord, of what I have to share. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But I'm going to go ahead because yet again, the Lord has taken me to hell. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear revelation about hell. It was a light revelation the Lord's given me. But the detail was great. My brother and my sister, I'm going to go into the revelation. And it's just going to encourage people to focus on Jesus and know that hell is real. Heaven is also real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Heaven is always first. God created the heaven and the earth, my brother and sister. So heaven was first. And heaven is real. And hell is real. And there's a reality that hell is full of people, my brother and sisters. Full of a lot of souls, sadly to say. But it's a reality, my brother and my sister. Amen. Before I go into the revelation, let me read number 28. Take the rod. This is God speaking to Moses. Take the rod. Gather thou the assembly together, the people, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. For thou shalt give the congregation and the beast to drink. Notice the instruction of the Lord, thank you, sister, to Moses to speak to the rock that the rock will give him water. Very, very straightforward direction from the Lord. That's basically what we need to do as servant of the Lord. Seek direction from him, straightforward direction. Ask the Lord, Lord, lead me, Lord, guide me. Lord, help me to understand. And the Lord is faithful, and the Lord will help us, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 16:18. I've been meditating on the verse for months now. And this is the Lord speaking to Peter. And he says, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gate of hell, the Lord says to Peter, will not prevail against it. Thank you, Lord, for that. And I've been wondering, what does that mean? What does that really mean? That the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And the day before yesterday morning, the Lord take me to hell. This time, I'm in front of three sisters that got vaccinated up in Massachusetts. And as I'm there, my brother and sister, I recognize them. They recognize me. The demon in hell was running an illusion like a river and lake of water before them. A few feet away from them, where the demon had them standing or looking to, they were sitting by the edge and these rocks. And they were looking straight forward to this fake river and fake water, my brother and sister. As I approached them, the younger one says to me, she recognized me, they recognized me, and said to give them water. Remember, by this time, the demons are not letting them drink real water, my brother and sister. And there's no real water in hell. Okay? There's no real water in hell. The water that these demons are having these people seeing before them, because they're very thirsty. They're not just hungry. They're very, very thirsty. And then they sigh like the rich men asking Lazarus to, asking Father Abraham to let Lazarus bring some water to him, my brother and sister, because he was in torment. And that's exactly what hell is. Hell is a place of torment. And so when people are there, people that are there are very hungry and very thirsty. And they remember everything they used to do on this earth. If they used to order pizza, if they used to buy 24 bottles of water in the supermarket or gallons of water, pure water that they love, they cannot have these things anymore. Although they desire with everything in them to have a drop of water, to have a bottle of water, they cannot. It is not possible in hell for them to have any water, my brother and sister. So it's a torment. It's difficult for them. And there's no mercy in hell. There's no love in hell. They just live in the condition that hell was in. Hate, lie, deceive, torment, fire. My brother and sister, to my right, I saw like a lake, a lava. As I'm looking to my right, I saw a lake in hell. And this lake in hell that I was looking into the day before yesterday morning was a river of lava, a lake of lava, like a volcanic lava. And anything that you put into that lake, a fire consumes it. In another word, now I understand in this revelation that the Lord took me to hell, why some people, when they had dreams, they think that there are people in the lake of fire, because they've been taken to hell, especially in front of that lake, and they think that that lake is in the lake of fire. It's similar to, but the lake of fire, there's not a single soul there. I didn't see anyone there. And because to the lake of fire that burned with fire and brimstone, people are going to be thrown there after the white throne judgment, after they're judged. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians that you will judge angels. Not even fallen angels are judged yet. Like, judgment has been put on Satan, but he's still going around doing evil. He has not yet, after the millennium ends, been thrown into the lake of fire. The only one in the end of the Great Tribulation that's going to be thrown into the lake of fire is the Antichrist and the false prophet. The Bible is very specific to that. But no one is there yet, my brother and sister. So as I was in front of this lake in hell, I can see the entire lake was like a volcanic lava, watery lava, burning lava, consuming lava. It doesn't turn off, never. It doesn't get hard, never. It's always like, the lava is like boiling. It's like pure burning fire. Seems like if you throw steel in there, it will melt it. That's how it looks like, my brothers and sisters. So it's horrible. Of course it's horrible. It's a place that you won't desire to anyone. So the Lord is taking me there again. I seen the three sisters that I know them for a long time. They got vaccinated. They were Christian. We used to go to church together up in Massachusetts. And they got vaccinated, and all three of them were there by the age. The demon had them by age, from the younger one to the older one, my brother and sister. The younger one says to me, if I can give her some water, and as I turn, inhale, the Lord put a bucket in my hand. This empty bucket the Lord puts in my hand, my brother and sister, as I'm walking toward them, on my left there's a rock. I knew this rock was different. It's like when God told Moses to speak to the rock. Okay, we just read that, my brother and sister. The Lord says to Moses in number 28, verse 8, take thy rod and gather thy assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give thee, give for his water. Notice that the Lord calls the rock his, because the rock of all ages is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as I go by this rock, it was different than any rock in hell. Totally different. I could tell you that this rock was special, and that God had put that rock there, my brother and sister. And that gave me so much understanding of the Bible. As God's giving me this revelation. The rock was there, and I go by this rock to go to where they are. And the younger ones tell me to give her water in hell. I'm in hell. They're in hell. Because they got vaccinated. And so the younger one says to me, by name, she called me, give me some water. As I turn to the rock, God puts a basket in my hand, and the basket was empty. And the basket looked like one of those baskets made of wood. They had a strap of metal around it, and then they had a metal hook to hold the basket. All of a sudden, I hit to the rock, and I stretched forth my hand with the basket next to the rock, and the basket began to give me water in hell. It was not fake water. It was real, clean, pure water, my brothers and sisters. And the Lord right there let me see that he's been preparing us for something great. As the rock in hell gives me water, my brothers and sisters, water began to pour out of this rock as I stretch my hand with the basket near the rock and fill my basket and more, because the water just kept running. And I raised the bucket. All of a sudden, I am surrounded hundreds of feet away by all kinds of demons in hell that are looking at this miracle. And I heard when one of the demons said, how dare he comes do this miracle in hell? He says, how dare he comes and make this miracle in hell, he says. Because I'm holding in my hand like a 5-gallon bucket. No, not 5-gallon. I will say a gallon bucket, a gallon basket, or maybe more, but a gallon basket, okay? In my hand full of real, pure water. My brother and sisters, and I show it to them, and they're all disgusted because they don't want people in hell to get any water. And it was because of the younger sister asked me for water, I was going to hand over a gallon of water, my brother and sister, pure water, that they're not supposed to have in hell, my brother and sisters. And I show it to the demons so they can see that with God, everything is possible. And they were, how dare he come and make this miracle in hell, my brother and sisters. Because the verse that I had in me for the longest is, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There in hell was this rock, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, my brother and sister, whom he says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We don't realize the power of the Lord. We don't realize what Jesus can do. And that the gates of hell are not going to hold him back. That everything he said to accomplish, he is going to accomplish. And that everything he has chosen us to accomplish, he's going to fulfill. Because Jesus is God, my brothers and sisters. He is God Almighty. He is the Son of God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 78:16. He brought stream also out of the rock and caused the water to run down like rivers. This is what I experienced. He told Moses to speak to the rock, but Moses, angry with the people, ended up hitting the rock. I noticed that when I stretched the basket to the rock, our Lord was a rock. He began to pour like a fountain of water, but pure water, and filled the basket that I had in my hand. Then I was going to show it to the sister. Look, water, real water. Not the fake stuff that the demons in hell are showing them, lakes and rivers of fake water. That when the people try to drink it, they notice it's fake. It's fake. It's not real. Jesus doesn't create fake. He creates the real, because by him all things were made. And there was nothing made, the Bible says, that without him, my brothers and sisters, real water that you can drink. Hallelujah. Moses, this is what he did, Psalm 78:20. Behold, he smacked the rock, that the water gush out and the stream overflow, that can give bread also, that can provide flesh for his people. It couldn't give them bread. It couldn't give them everything they needed, not just water, not just fluid. It could have given them bread, says David. David walked by faith, not by sight. It could have given them bread, not just fluid. It could have given them what they needed at any time, at any moment, if they were to speak to the rock. Give us water, give us food. The rock would have given up, because the rock is Jesus Christ our Lord. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Psalm 78:35, and they remember that God was the rock, and the high God, their Redeemer, he was their God. That rock I saw was the Lord as a rock. And when I stretched forth my hand, it filled my basket with water. I always had the question about the 5,000 pieces of fish and bread the Lord created. Where did the basket came from? Because these people were not carrying all this basket. And what the Lord led me to understand, because he put a basket in my hand. He made a basket appear in my hand in hell, an empty basket for the water, bucket for the water, a basket for them for the fish and the bread. He made appear among the multitude. The miracle was not only the fish. Of course they could not eat the basket. They could only eat the fish and the bread. But the basket was also part of the miracle that the Lord made them appear, because he made it appear unto me. And how he made the basket, the bucket appear in my hand, the handle It was right there, the basket in the hand. I was holding the basket right away. It appeared in my hand. And I went to the rock, and the rock gave me water. My brother and sister, a miracle of the Lord in hell. I didn't know that this was possible. But we forget that we're God. All things are possible. My brother and sister, that we need to learn to walk by faith. But the only one that can teach us to live by faith is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our God, our Redeemer. They remember because we forget. And this is why God gives us a preacher, a reminder. They remember that God was the rock. And the high God, their Redeemer, he is our rock. He is our Redeemer. Don't forget, God is reminding you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 81:16. He should have set them also with the fine of weed and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied them? Not only will he give them bread, he would have also given them honey, which is good for you. Now, I take honey almost every day with my tea. My brother and sister, with my drink. Honey is good for you. And God said he would have given them honey. He would have given them honey. It's our lack of faith, our problem. It's not if God is able or willing. God is willing and is able. He desired to give it to us. But our lack of faith is the problem. The Lord wanted to show me that in the worst place that anyone can be is hell. Even there can he make a miracle appear, happen, come to pass. And he did. I was shocked by what he did. But not only me, all the witnesses in hell saw it. And they said, how dare he make this happen in hell? Because they knew. They know God can do anything. And he did it in the place where they don't expect him to do it. My brother and sister, I was stunned. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 89:26. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. You need to understand that God placed a rock in the wilderness for Israel. God can place a rock into our life, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And he can give us not just water. He can give us food, bread. He can give us whatever we need in the time we need it the most. And there's a time coming into America and the world where food is going to run out. Water will be contaminated. And there are many that will even go naked. But as long as you trust in the Lord, as long as you trust in your rock that is Jesus Christ, the rock that gave the children of Israel water in the wilderness, the one that he said that he would have given wheat and honey, is our Lord, is our Savior. And he will give you rock. He will give you water. He will give you wheat. He will give you honey. He will feed you as his sheep. He will put food on your table. And if you don't have a container to keep the food and the honey, he will provide you with one. Because he provided a canister for the bread. And he provided me the bucket for the water in hell. Real water, not fake water. My brother, water that I could drink. It went over myself. It went over my leg. It was water. It was not fake, like what the demon was showing the people to torment them in hell. Fake water, fake lake, fake river. The Lord doesn't make fake. He makes it real because he is the real God that we serve. Thank you, Jesus. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but God is the God of the living, he says. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Praise them. Praise them. Praise them. Whatever you find yourself in, praise them. Thank them. Because soon you're going to meet him face to face in heaven. You're going to meet this rock, this salvation, this redeemer, this God. You're going to meet him face to face in heaven very soon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Real water for them to drink. And the demon were angry. Angry. How dare he come and do this here? I didn't know that the Lord would do that. People had asked me for things before in hell, and I didn't turn around to do anything. Because you think to yourself, well, they're already in hell. They're already in torment. What am I going to do? But we don't realize our God, how powerful he is, what he is able to do, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 92:15, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. There's no unrighteousness in Jesus. You're not going to get any lie or deceive out of his lips. His lips are pure. As the word that comes out of his mouth are pure. Thank you, Jesus. His word are pure. As the word that comes out of his mouth are pure. Thank you, Lord. We serve a wonderful God, good God, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. I didn't have to hit the rock like Moses. I didn't have to get angry. All I had to do and go and ask the rock for water. Stretch before my hand, the basket. I don't remember if I said, I probably did, because I went and stretched my hand to the rock, and it filled. It began to pour water out of itself and fill my bucket. And then I began to show the water to them. Look, it's real. Real water. And the demon were angry because of this. Keep me in prayer. Keep my family in prayer. Because imagine what we're dealing with, my brothers and sisters. This miracle doesn't go unnoticed. Okay? They know. They're not happy for this. This is not what they want to happen. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 94:22. But the Lord is my defense. My God is the rock of my refuge. Jesus, our Lord, is the rock of our refuge. We can always trust in him. We can always depend on him. We don't need to fear or be afraid. All we need to do is trust him and lean not on our own understanding. Don't think that, hallelujah, we know it all and it's all fine because we know it all. No, trusting the Lord and not leaning on our own understanding. Know that the Lord is in control. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of us, my brother and sister. Understand. Hallelujah. Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let's sing to him. When was the last time you sing unto the Lord? When was the last time you praised the Lord for what he's done in your life, or for the salvation of your soul, for his grace over your life? His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for whatever you and I are going through. Shalom, Brother Will. His faith is sufficient. Know that the Lord is able. The Lord is capable and the Lord is able. And he loves you and is willing to help you. He is willing. God is willing. Trust him. Seek him. Commit your life to him. Let him work his word in your life. Thank you, Lord, and say, Lord, not my will. As Jesus said in Gethsemane, but thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 104:18. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 105:41. Sorry. He opened the rock of the water, Gashal, and ran on dry place like a river. As I'm looking at a rock that the water came out of, hallelujah, the water just kept coming out. and kept coming out. Demons were angry in hell because that rock that was there, the water kept coming out, and they knew that rock was there placed by God, my brothers and sisters, because he is the rock. He's a holy rock. He is the old, he's God Almighty. And they didn't expect that to happen, my brother and sister. He's always teaching us. He's always teaching us creation. What do they think, that the Lord is limited by anything? He cannot be limited by his creation. He created all things. Huh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 114a, he turned the rock into standing water. Standing water. Flint into the fountain of water. My brother and sister, a fountain is always, there's always water coming out of it. And he makes himself available to you and I, where water is always coming out of him, living water. The Holy Spirit is always available for God's people. That living water is in our lives. And he's in our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to protect us. He is jealous for us. My brother and sister, let's cry out unto him for help. Let's ask him to help us. Thank you, Lord, because these difficult times are approaching quickly. The Lord is our defense, our refuge, our rock, our tower. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is there for us. Hallelujah. So Isaiah 2:10, enter into the rock, hide thee into the dust, for the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Hallelujah. He is glorious. He is worthy to be in praise, and he is glorious. He made himself available for his people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 2:19, and they shall go into the hole of the rock, into the cave of the earth, for the fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty. When he arrives to shake the terrible earth, he's going to shake the terrible earth terribly. An earthquake is about to hit the U.S. The eastern part of the U.S. is about to be in flooding with plenty of water. My brother, seawater. It's about to get hold of his land. Is that what the Lord has said? It's coming, and we need to be ready and prepare. We need to be seeking the Lord, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. There's someone on YouTube giving numbers of people that will be gone. I don't want to say number because we're praying. We are praying for people. We're praying for our brothers and sisters. May God keep them. May God protect them. May God deliver them. May none of them perish. But by the fact that Jesus at the cross went down to the lower part of hell to free those that at one time in the times of Noah perished, who was in Abraham's bosom and then took them to paradise, those righteous people perished, died through the flood in the times of Noah. And God remembered, the Lord remembered them and went and set them free and took them to heaven. There will be many people that are maybe in San Francisco and California in the eastern part of the United States that are righteous, that the Lord wants to save, that the Lord can deliver them, and the Lord can save them. Their flesh can perish, but the soul can be saved. May God help them. May God deliver them. Hallelujah. Isaiah 2:21, go into the cliff of the rock. That's where I am now living, in the cliff of the rock upstairs. In the top of the rugged rock, for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. When he arrives to take the terrible earth, terribly the earth, he's about to do that now. And he sent me up to this mountain up here in North Carolina. My brother, it's 2,400 feet high. The first tsunami will not affect this area. The second, the water will get close to here, and some of the lower part of here will be affected. The third will wipe it out. We might be here for the first, but we're not going to be here for the second one or the third tsunami. by the time the church will be gone. But by the third tsunami, that city, the state will be completely underwater. The United States will be practically completely underwater. It's just how God showed it to me. They're coming. They're appointed for judgment. My brother and sister, go onto the cliff of the rock, into the top of the rugged rock, for the fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. And that's what he's going to do, terribly. He's going to shake this earth terribly, my brother and sister. This is in Isaiah 2:21, 2:10, my brother and sister. It's coming. It is coming, God says in his word. But we need to go out to the rugged rock, the highest, the this place of safety. And if you're doing that, like, hallelujah, like going to into thy chamber until the indignation, so I say, passes. The indignation, the 7-year great tribulation, he's telling his church, go into the chamber, go into heaven until the indignation, 7-year great tribulation passes. And that's what we're doing. Then we're coming back to the millennium of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's being merciful to us. Like Noah and his family, he did not allow them to perish with the flood, but he had them construct an ark with the measurement that God gave him, which all pointed to Jesus. All pointed to the Son of God. The measurement of the ark, Jesus being the ark of salvation, my brothers and sisters, was given by God to him, or by his own son. God gave Noah the measurement for the ark, which indicated his own son, because to God, the security of humanity is his son. In order to save humanity, as a lamb, he sent them to the cross to die for them. When the children of Israel went to the wilderness and were thirsty and complained to Moses and Aaron, when Moses and Aaron went and cried to God, God had Jesus as a rock in the wilderness, and God says to Moses, go speak to the rock. Because he's a gentle God. He's a good God. He had in him plenty of water. He said he would have given them wheat, bread, food, and honey. My brother insisted. They only tasted water from the rock when God had a whole buffet for them. A buffet with everything they needed. I was taken by the Lord a few months ago to the park in heaven that had all the table full of food. I saw Jesus standing there, and next to him were table, white table, beautifully adorned, full of fruit, full of food. As far as I can see the line of table, because it was one table after another table, and these tables were long, and another table, and another table, and another table, etc., they say, full of food. And you can walk from the first table and pick some fruit, some food, and go to the other, and they have another type of food, and you can pick some. You can go to the other table and pick some other food. Whatever you love, whatever you like, Jesus made himself available for all of us. As he was in the wilderness available for the children of Israel, that when they cried to the Lord and says, Moses, you have brought us in this wilderness to die. It was better for us to go back to Egypt. And Moses went and cried to God. And Moses and Aaron prostrated themselves before the ark with their head right to the ground and cried out to God because of their complaint, murmuring. And God said he was giving them the bread of angels, manna. They never heard the bread of angels. That's the right translation to manna. They never heard about manna. They never heard bread of angels. What is that bread of angels? You know? We made bread from different stuff. But bread of angels, what is that? And it was a special bread. A special in heaven. And was special to the children of Israel. And when they began to eat manna, manna was like nothing anyone ever had. Not even Adam and Eve in the garden had manna. Not even people with the best food in the United States had anything like manna. There's nothing in the United States or in Europe or any part of the earth that you can eat that you can say this tastes like manna. Manna was much greater than anything you and I have ate so far. And if you don't believe me, when you go to heaven, say, I want some manna. Give me some manna, like the children of Israel. And when you go taste manna, you'll say, wow, God gave them the best. The fact that the bread came from heaven, the fact that the bread was bread of angels, that alone tells you how special manna is. It's very special. It is very special. You and I cannot describe in words how good manna is. It is not just bread. It is more than bread. And when you go to heaven, say, can I have a piece of manna? Can I have some manna? I want to know what manna tastes like. And you say, wow, wow, we have nothing on the earth compared to manna. Nothing. There's nothing. We have never ate in the United States anything like manna. It's much greater, much healthy. The fact of the matter, the children of Israel, not mother got sick. There were places when the snake bit them and they became sick. And God had Moses create that serpent of bronze. So when they will look at it, they will be healed. My brother and sister, the Bible says he sent his word and healed them all. Besides them getting into disobedience several times in which they ended up being sick, eating manna had everything they needed for their health, for their body, which they will never be sick. My brother insisted. The sickness they inquired was of their own disobedience. And they are Christian like us today. Why are they sick? If they seek the Lord with all their heart and fasting and praying and ask the Lord, it is out of their own disobedience, my brother and sister. Because God promised that he would keep us healed. In my family line, my family had problem with heart problem. And when I started having heart problem and liver problem, my father passed away, my literal father passed away back in 1979. Because a liver problem, my brother and sister. And this came from the family line. I started having liver problem. I went to my personal doctor. He had a blood test, which he did several with me, about the same problem. I had a liver problem. I had shared that here in the Lord's Hour. I inherited that from my father, according to the doctors. I was getting very sick. My father died when he was 42, 43. I'm going to be 52 this year. My brother and sister, I already overpassed him. I should have died over 10 years ago. No, my brother and sister, he sent his word and healed them all. He sent his word and healed me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. By his stripes, by his wound, we are healed. That's what I began to ask the Lord and claim of the Lord and request of the Lord and ask of the Lord. Lord, you said in your word that you took upon yourself my sickness, and that by your stripe, by your wound, I am healed, O Lord. And I remember that year. I was getting very sick in my early 30s, or late 30s, or mid 30s. In my 30s, I didn't think I was going to make it at 40, my brother and sister. And I was going to the Lord every day about this matter. Because I was preaching his word. And God was healing people. And I said, Lord, you used me to heal people. But though I'm dying myself. My liver, according to my doctor, was really bad. My brother and sister, according to the test he was doing on me. Thank you, Lord. And I remember asking the Lord, will you give me a new liver, O Lord? In my spirit, while fasting, while praying, while asking the Lord, it came out of my spirit. I was asking the Lord to heal my liver, restore my liver. And one day as I was praying, the Lord touched me, and it came out of my spirit, Lord, give me a new liver. It's right what Romans says, that we have to pray. We don't know what to ask for. We don't know how to pray. We think we know how to pray. We pray our way. We request things our way. And a lot of the time, the way we are asking God for things, we don't get it our way, because in His way, His will be done, Jesus says. Not my will, Father, thy will be done. And when we can get that prophetic word that Jesus spoke, that should be applied in our life every day, every second, and every over everything. Came out of my spirit, Lord, give me a new liver. That very moment, the power of God got a hold of me, and I felt the power of God engulfing me, like someone hugging you, but it was like a strong wing of anointing going around my belly, around my body, creating within me a new liver. My brother and sister, when the Lord finished creating in me a new liver, I knew 100% the skin of my body changed. I immediately knew I had a new liver within me. I went to my doctor appointment and checked. And when the blood result of the clinic came, the doctor checked and looked at me and looked at the result and says, you're fine. I cannot find anything wrong with your liver anymore. And I was laughing. My God, giving me a new liver. Thank you, Lord. And that was a witness to the doctor. Thank you, Lord. My brother, then I was having a heart problem because my mom had a heart problem. And God used me to heal her. And I said, Lord, what about me? Will you heal me, O Lord? Will you give me a new heart? And he did. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is good, and his love endures forever. He loves you. And all we need to do is ask. Do we know how to ask correctly? No. But if you fast and pray and go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how to ask this. I don't know what my prayer should be, Lord. You give me even the prayer. How should I pray to the Lord? How should I request what I need, O Lord? Help me, Jesus. Because some people say, yes, the Lord say yes. Oh, the Lord say yes. I just heard him say yes. Thank you, Lord. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. A lot of people have been praying and praying, but it's not your way. It is his way. It is his will, not your will, but his will be done. Hallelujah. Ask him, how should you ask? How should you pray? Thank you, Lord. And he'll tell you how. Ask him, thank you, Lord. So you don't go like the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years going around. Going around, because as long as you seek your will, you keep going around. Ask him how. Ask him how should you ask. I've been asking this way, you say. And God may be looking at you saying, that's not the way I want you to ask. But you are so sure that that's the way. Amen. Ask him to help you to ask correctly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And for some reason, he really wanted me to say this. Hallelujah. As he spoke it to me, I just heard him saying it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me go to Romans. Hallelujah. Let me go to Romans. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. What an awesome God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise to God. Likewise, Romans 8:28, the Spirit also helped, or 22nd, or in our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. You know what he's saying there? We don't know how to pray correctly, or the way we're supposed to pray. Do you see that as a problem? If you're not praying correctly? You see what I'm saying? You see what the word is saying? Now apply it to your own life, to your own prayer life. Thank you, Lord. Are you asking correctly? You may not be. May not be. And that's what frustrates us a lot of the time. My brother and sister. And the Lord ministered to me about my frustration a few months ago. Because we get frustrated when we're asking for this or that, and we're just asking in a certain way. Maybe someone told us to pray that way. Maybe we got this idea that we should pray this way. Or we read a book about it. Okay? Because here's the thing. Christianity has turned, I heard people saying a lot, that Christianity has turned in a way where people are serving God how other people are telling them to serve God. And that's wrong. When you come to God, you must believe that he is. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that genuinely seek him. You need to let God tell you how he wants you to pray, how to seek him, how to commit your life to him. Thank you, Lord. And that's not being taught. And that's what frustrating Christians. You got a lot of people frustrated today. And they blame God for what's going on in their lives, the wrong things that are going on in their life. But if they don't know how to pray, even the basic thing is pray as a Christian. Every Christian should pray. But how do they pray is the question. And that's what God is saying here. Likewise, you got to have wisdom. The Spirit also helps us in our infirmity. For we know now what we should pray. What is he saying that? We don't know how to pray. He's saying there, we don't know what we should pray for as we are. We don't know. And that's what the Holy Spirit, the Lord, help us in our prayer life, in our difficult time, in our situation. Because everyone has a different situation. Bible says some are slaves, some are captive. An example. Some are in jail, some are out of jail. Some are going to court. Some other have other problems. Everyone has a different problems in different shape or form. So how do we deal with that? And the Lord has an answer for us on how. He is the answer to that. And he has an answer on how to. For we know not what we should pray for as we out. And maybe I should look this in the Amplified Bible, and I will, to give you a better idea. Thank you, Lord, of what it's saying here, my brother and sister. Because our struggle, hallelujah, back, frustrating us. In the same way the Spirit come to us and help us in our weakness, we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer as we should. So if someone says to you, do you know how to pray? You know what the answer should be? No, I don't. I just talk to God. And I ask God for things, direction, guidance, wisdom. You know? Because if we knew how to pray correctly, every single prayer would have an answer in our lives. Because we knew how to ask, and we didn't get our answer. So that's what frustrates us as a Christian, because we haven't gotten most of our prayer to answer. And then we say, if I'm asking, what's going on? And the problem that the Bible says is that we don't know what to pray We don't know what prayer to offer or how to offer as we should. But the Spirit itself knows our need at the right time. Intercede on our behalf with signs of groaning too deep for words. So we need the help of the Holy Spirit in prayer. We need the Lord to help us to pray. Because in the moment you will know how to pray, like the Lord one time, I remember talking to the Lord about how to pray in general for people, for nations. He began to show me how to ask for certain things. And I began to ask him, and I began to see people being touched by God, people coming to the Lord. I began to see movement of God that a lot of people call them revival, because people are being awakened years ago. Thank you, Lord. And it was the Lord teaching me how to pray, my brother and sister. Now, I should have stayed, keep asking the Lord, Lord, how do I do this? How do I do that? But we think as we were reading the Bible a lot, we know how to. And that's a problem. That is a problem when you think you know. Hallelujah. He knows. He knows everything. We're just learning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. So the Spirit help us in our weakness. Who doesn't have a weakness? Who's listening doesn't have a weakness? It's not weak somewhere in their lives. Everyone has a weakness, especially in this body. Every single Christian, every single human being on this earth has a weakness in the flesh. It could be smoking, could be lying, stealing, fornicating, whatever it is, everyone has a weakness. My brother and sister, hallelujah. We all have a weakness, and this is a fact of the matter. But he helped us in our weakness, for we will know what to pray and offer and how to offer. We don't know. We just don't know. We need his help, and he is willing to help us. Hallelujah. He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God in our behalf. God's people according to the will. I said that I asked sometime the Holy Spirit to intercede for me, and he does. And a lot of people thought it was weird. But he can intercede for us according to the will of God, with God's will. My brother and sister, hallelujah, it's biblical. It's in the Word. And you can ask, and you will receive. Hallelujah. Now, Romans 8:28, hallelujah, is the icing on the cake. And let me tell you why. Because look what Romans 8:28 says. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. How can you say that when I got a lot of things going wrong in my life, some people may say. When I got this person in my life making my life miserable, how can you say everything works for the world in the love of the Lord? You see, where we can disagree with God. So a lot of people, a lot of women listening because they have an abused husband can say, everything is working well for me when I got this abusive man in my life, Brother Elvie. Could you explain that to me? Huh? How can God say that? Yes, God can use that abusive man to work in your life and even save him through you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. If you ask the Lord how to pray for him, Lord, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray for you to help me to pray for this person, oh Lord. Help me, Lord, to pray for this person. And the Lord can teach you. The Lord can reveal to you how to pray for that person in your life. And when he does, everything will change. That person will not be the same. Because your prayer will go before the throne. God will move. And when God moves, he changes everything. Everything changes when he moves. Hallelujah. So we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Do you love God? I know most of you, all of you will say, yes, I love God, Brother Elby. So those who are called according to his purpose, we are all called according to his purpose, right? We believe that. We know that. Some of us know this, my brother and sister, because some people are still asking if they're called by God, and we are all called by God. Or you won't be serving God. You won't be seeking God. Because of the desire of you seeking God, God has put it in you, in your life. He has chosen you, elected, selected you before the foundation of the earth. So it's been God in your life, working in your life for you to serve him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whom he foreknew. In other words, whom he before, you're talking about before the creation of anything, of the earth, everything. He knew you. He knew you from eternity. Remember, he asked you in eternity, will you go out of the earth and be born a woman and serve me and trust that I will come to you? And when you hear my voice, you will follow me? And you say yes? You probably don't remember, right? We don't remember these things, but we agreed. The reason why we're here is not because we were told to do this in countdown. It's because he asked us, and we say yes, my brother and sister. When you go back to heaven, all that memory comes back to you. Oh, yeah, he did. I remember when I said yes. Praise you, Lord. But then you'll be grateful because you'll say, I trusted in the Lord. And as I was saying to someone last night, the Lord God is faithful. And he will do his part. Even though when you're failing, he still do his part. Whatever he promised, he fulfilled his promise. My brother and sister, I was telling him that our people for 30 years saying no to God. At the 40, 50 year, then they say yes. God knew, but God never given up on them. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. He's merciful. There's not a single person in hell that the Lord did not come to receive him, to serve him. They all knew. They all knew the Lord came to them. They all know the Lord came to them. So they're not there as innocent sheep. They're there because they rejected the Lord himself. He kept coming to them, although they were rejecting him. They're there out of their own choice, out of their own choosing. Not because God sent them there by punishment necessarily. The punishment is because he has said it will be punished there. The wicked will be punished there. But the chance of being saved, God gave it to them from the time they were born. From the time they were born, God was there for them. Until the time they died, he was reaching out to their lives. They rejected God. My brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. That's what Jesus explained to me about the vaccinated. The vaccinated decided to get vaccinated. It was out of their own choosing, Jesus says to me. That's why they're there. They didn't come to the house and say, take them by single, we'll put a bullet between your eyes. They didn't say that to anyone. Huh? But people, all because of my job. All because I got to travel to other countries. All that could have been put on hold. Doesn't he feed the bird from the air that doesn't work or do anything? If you would have trusted the Lord, he would have taken care of you. Those that got vaccinated, my brother and sister. It's always an excuse. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. What does this mean? Those that agreed to come down and be born of a woman and come to there and serve God until the time will come for them to be saved. He knew them. He predestined them. Predestined is the word of saying, you're going to become like my son. When I'm done with you, when I'm done with your life, when I'm done changing you, you're going to be like my son. It's what God's saying. He predestined them that we're going to end up being like Jesus. And each and one of us, that's why I was surprised in hell. When the Lord put the bucket in my hand, made the bucket appear in my hand, and I went to the rock, and the rock gave me water. So that's a miracle of the Lord in hell. And all the saw them one way. They are looking at this and was stunned and said, how dare do this? He does this in this place. My brother and sister, anything impossible with God. It's a bunch of things impossible with man, or millions and billions of things impossible with man, but not with God, my brothers and sisters. That he might be the first among many brethren. Jesus is the first and the last also. But he is the first among many brethren. He is the first example. He is Melchizedek. He is the one that Abraham worshipped. He is the one that he came to Abraham, and Abraham gave him his tithes and offering after he defeated the king. To Melchizedek, who had no beginning, the Bible says. Jesus Christ has no beginning because he's born of the Father, and the Father has been forever and ever and ever. My brother and sister, he's born of the Father. So no beginning. Melchizedek had no beginning. He is the priest chosen by God. My brother and sister, to be the priest forever, established through Melchizedek, holy and righteous, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock that gives water and food, and that is a refuge to those that trust in him, says David. My brother and sister, we serve an almighty God. Paul says, moreover, I'll give you more. I'll give you more, church, he says. Who? He predestined, God said to his son, this is my beloved son in whom am I pleased. God said to his son, he is the example unto all creation. Jesus Christ is the example. The Bible says he predestined whom he predestined. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the one the Father predestined. My brother and sister, when did he predestine him in the beginning? When was the beginning? When nothing was created, nothing that was created because everything would become to be created through him. My brothers and sisters, everything that you see and know, including the angels and all principalities and power in heaven, were created through Christ. That's why in heaven, when Christ is coming, they all bow to him. Thank you, Lord. I saw Jesus as the commander-in-chief of the army of God. There was Gabriel, Michael, and all of them. I saw all of them. And they asked the Lord. They were asking the Lord, what is it to be? What is it that he wanted them to do? They all bowed to him. It was endless upon endless of angels. Billions upon billions of trillions of angels. All bowing to him. Recognizing that he is God. None of them has a question whether he is the almighty God. None of them. Got a bunch of men made of dirt down here, dust, questioning whether Jesus is God. I cannot believe what I hear on this earth. The things I hear in the last day, I don't want to hear them anymore because they're garbage. Garbage, false teaching. Questioning whether Jesus is God. In heaven, that's not a question. In heaven, that's an answer. He is the God. Hallelujah. He is God. And through him, all things were created. There's not a single question in heaven whether Jesus is God. Because that's the answer, that he is who he is. My brother and sister, he says to Moses, I am that I am. When he asked him, hallelujah, who are you? What is your name? I am that I am. My brother, that's who he is. He always been, he always was, and he always be. His throne, says Daniel, will last forever. My brother and sister, when you go to heaven, you're going to be shocked when you see everyone, doesn't matter the power, the position, bow to Jesus, recognizing who he is. No one have any doubt or any question of who he is. My brother and sister, but on this earth, the lie, the deceit, is over whether he is God. Oh my Lord, what a garbage that is. God have mercy. Who he predestined? Who's he also called? Come here, my son. I'm going to create man. I'm going to create angel. I'm going to create principality, archangel, sheriff, my son. Come here, my son, who he also called. Come here. Come to you, my son. Yes, Father. Thy will be done, Father. And he created the angel. And created the earth, created everything in it. And man, in his image. and in his likeness he created them, male and female, the Bible says. And whom he called, he also justified. Father, these are my children. Father, I want them to be justified to me. Yes, my son. Yes. It is done. It is done. I remember the day in the throne he called me. Father was speaking with him. Jesus said, Father, I ask that my word be in his mouth. And Father said, yes. And the word immediately was in my mouth as fire, consuming fire. My brother insisted, as Father spoke, thank you, Lord. As Jesus asked Father, he knows exactly how to ask Father. And Father said, yes, my son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Oh, Father, oh, I thank you for the Lord. I thank you for him, Father. Because you have given us the best. The best that is in heaven and not creation is Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving us the best, Father. I thank you, Almighty God. In whom he justified, he also glorified. Oh, man. That glory, he said, that he had with Father from the beginning in John 17. My brother and sister, he had this glory with Father from the beginning. Thank you, Lord. He's been there with Father from the beginning. And when is that beginning? You cannot count the year. You cannot say how long, my brother and sister. The beginning is the beginning. He had that glory with the Father. And Father glorified him. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. I hope those 26 is for wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Happy birthday. And when they show, and what then shall we say of these things? If God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Remember, Father said, my son, fear not, I'm in control. The Lord looked at me and said, fear not, I'm in control. God Almighty is in control, my brother and sister. And God and the Father are one. Jesus and the Father are one. Hallelujah. And then what you would say of these things, says Paul. It's a question for the church. It's a question for, what should we say of these things? Thank you, Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? When you learn, when you go to heaven and you learn that God is for you, and that he always been for you from the time before you were born, he put you here. And the time you were born, he was here with you. Throughout your life, he was with you and protecting you. I was 11, 12 years old when God raised a mighty prophet back in the Dominican Republic. Before God made sure I had all the paperwork I needed to come to the U.S. as a minor. Legal entrance, not illegal. Legal. God made it possible. My brother and sister. And God spoke to me and said that he will bring me to this land and that he will be with me and that he will keep me and protect me, raise me up and use me. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. And God had done exactly as he said. Every word. I had an argument with a guy at one time. He took his gun, put it to my head, and pressed the trigger of the gun, and the bullet of the gun would not go off. He put the gun to the seat, and the bullet came out. He went to the next bullet. We were having an argument. Put the gun to my head again. Pressed the trigger. And press it hard, and the bullet will not come out of the gun. Put it again to the seat, and the bullet came out again in that apartment. We were arguing. My brother and sister, he could not understand why he could not kill me. My brother and sister, he could not. He was pressing on the trigger. He was trying to kill me. He put the gun to my head and could not kill me. My brother and sister. Hallelujah, because God was with me, as he said to me, as I was a youngster, that he will protect me and deliver me from my enemy, he says. And he did, my brothers and sisters. Nothing have been able to harm me. And in any way, to where God did not deliver me from. He had delivered me from death several times. And even there, he had risen me back again. Because God has the power, my brothers and sisters, of the dead and life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I'm so grateful. That's why when I start the program, what did I tell you? He's good. We serve a great God, I tell you. We serve an awesome God. Because I see how he delivered me from there, my brothers and sisters. I praise him. I thank him for that. Every day since I've been a Christian, because he's been good to me. He's been good to me. He has been a father to me. He has been my Lord, my protector, my deliverer. I know that if I need him, all I have to do is cry out to him, and he's there always. He's always on my side. He's always there for me and my family, my brother and sister. He has been a provider, our helper. Thank you, Jesus. He's good. And that's why I recommend him to anyone. When I started experiencing the goodness of the Lord, how good he began to be with me as a Christian, as a young Christian. That same year, I grabbed my Bible. And I went around downtown preaching. And I went to the park preaching. And I went to people's apartment preaching. Then I got ID for ministry. I went to the hospital. I went to every single hospital that I could go to and preach to the sick people as they allowed me, telling them how good the Lord is and praying for them. And the Lord healed them. A testimony to the nurses and the people in the hospital administration. I went to the nursing home and I preached to the people. I went to tell them how good the Lord is. I went to the street of different city, in different state, and I went to tell them how good the Lord is. I went to my friends that I knew from high school, that we went together in high school in New Jersey. And I went in New Jersey, Union City. I went and told them how good the Lord is to receive the Lord. Because the Lord was good, that he was being good to me, and he could be good to them also. I told all my friends, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah. And some of them, they saw the joy in my eyes in the street of New Jersey. And right there, one of my friends says, Elvie, I know you for so many years, Elvie. And you're telling me about God this way. This young man was no more than 17 years of age. And right there, I asked him, do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He said, yes. I said, raise your hand. I put my hand on the shoulder right there on the sidewalk on the street. And he raised his hand, and he confessed the Lord with me. I said, Lord and Savior. At that very moment, the Lord came and touched him. The presence of God came over his life. Every concern, every worry he had, it went out of him. And all he felt was the presence of God, the goodness of the Lord that I was talking to him about. My brother and sister, right there as he confessed the Lord, as I was laying hand on him, oh, he says he can feel the joy. He can feel his presence. He can feel his goodness right there on the side of the road. People were driving by looking at us. My brother and sister, but we didn't care because it was about the soul being saved. From that very moment, I told him to continue to seek the Lord, to go to church as much as he could, to seek the Lord, to read his Bible. My brother and sister, he did. The joy this young man received that afternoon, he was talking about it in the moment he received Christ. In the moment the Lord came over him and took all worry and concern and filled him with joy in his presence, he was talking about it. My brother and sister, oh, I can feel him. He is real, as you said, Brother Elvie. Thank you. Oh, thank you. He can hardly speak. And all that came out of him was like praise and praise and praise. My brother and sister, oh, the Lord is good. I tell you, the Lord is good. And his mercy endure forever. I recommend Jesus to you. I recommend Jesus to your family. I recommend him. He is good. He is good. He is a good Savior. He is a good rock to them that serve him. Serve him. Serve him. Give your life to him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him with all your heart. Hallelujah, because he is good. He is merciful. God, he is good God. Look what God did for you and I. He that spared not his own son. He loved Jesus so much. But when he saw humanity lost, my son, who would I send? And who will go for me? Says the prophet Isaiah. Hallelujah. The eunuch asked Stephen, was he speaking of himself or someone else? Hallelujah. And Stephen came next to him and began to explain to him that he was speaking of the Messiah that will come and die for all humanity. My brother insisted, who will go? Who would I send? And send I, Father, he says, send I. And he sent his son. Because Father, looking at humanity lost in sin, every young body had gone straight as sheep. Everyone in sin. Hallelujah. The Bible says he spared not his own son, his only begotten son. Will you go and die for them as a lamb on the cross? Yes, Father. Go, my son. Hallelujah. And he came down. And the passion of Christ was to die for you and I. Because he was gaining a family. See, God, the Lord is a good investor. Better than any stock investor or Bitcoin investor or gold investor. He invested in life. And people that he will give his life for will turn back to favor and praise him and thank him and live forever grateful for what he had done. He invested in the best than gold, best in silver, best in diamond, best in anything you and I know in our lives that we can turn around and thank him forever. My brother and sister, because, see, silver, gold, diamond, they don't last forever. They eventually end. But our life in Christ goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. He invested in the best. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Hallelujah. But he delivered his son, delivered him up for us all. He is my son. Hallelujah. How should he not spare? Should he not with his also freely give us all things? I heard a prophecy earlier where the Lord says to the prophet that everything the Father giving him, he's willing to share with his people. Because what they inherit is the same that he inherited from the Father. And he wants to give it to us, my brother and sister. He wants to give us out of his riches, his abundance, out of his blessing. He has enough to give to us, my brother and sister. But if people don't come to him and submit their life to him, how are they going to receive what he has for them? When everyone is seeking their own will, not the will of God, he wants us to seek the will of God, not our will, but his will. As he submitted his life to the Father and was seeking the will of the Father, so he wants each and one of us to walk, seeking the will of God, not our will. That everything God has promised according to his will come to pass in our lives. Thank you, Lord. That's why he wants us to seek his will. Because everything he promised in his will. And it will him to give it to us. And we'll receive it. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13. Who should lay anything to charge against God elect? It is God who justifies. Thank you, Lord. Remember the day these principalities were accusing me before the Lord. And the Lord told them that I have repented and he has forgiven me and washed me from my sin. And the principalities tried to insist on the Lord, and the Lord came down on him and hit him over the head with his feet, his enemy under his feet. And I stopped when the demon fell practically unconscious. He lost his mind, unconscious. The Lord hit him so hard with his feet. My brother insisted. And all the other demons had to go and help him out because he was out. He knocked him out, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord, because he tried to insist on the Lord, and the Lord was not having it anymore. Hallelujah. He was not having it anymore. He's God. They got to respect him, or they're going to lose their little position they have, my brother and sister. He hit him over the head and was out. At one time, I remember, I was having problems with a principality attacking me, coming against me. And the Lord had explained to me that if I ask him to fight for me, the Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord will come around and defeat him and will protect him. The Lord said, why didn't you ask me to deal with him? Jesus said. And it was like, okay, Lord. And that demon will come and try to argue with me that he will fight me, he says. And the demon was getting ready. The principality, I remember the night, was coming against me. I could hear him speaking. The Lord sometimes will open my eyes. I could see them. Or a lot of the time. And he, oh, I'm coming against you. Watch what I'm going to do to you, he says. And I call the Lord. Oh, he was not expecting that. He was not expecting that. I was keeping the best for last. He kept threatening me, I'm going to do this to you. You watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to do this and that. And he kept coming. He kept coming. And when he got closer to me, I called the Lord. That very moment, the Lord gave him one knocked out. The Lord knocked him out cold, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I was used to the law. Psalm 91, the Lord was saying, Señor, anda to protect us, to keep us. They will carry in their hands so our feet will not slip with stone. My brother and sister, and we pray Psalm 91. But no one prays Psalm 34:7. No one prays that. Very few people. It's calling the Lord himself to fight for us. The Lord doesn't say, my angel, vengeance is on my angel. Let my angel fight. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that in his word. What does it say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He doesn't say vengeance is on my angels. There's nowhere in the Bible it says vengeance is on my angel. No, he says vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Thank you, Lord. The Lord had to explain the Bible to us. He explained it to me. He explained it to me. Because I was a Psalm 91. Calling the angel. Calling the angel. I was one of those Psalm 91 calling the angel. Hallelujah. But I didn't know that all I had to do was call the Lord. Who is the Lord above all? My brother and sister. Angels are not above all. Angels obey the order of the Lord. They are our brothers. The Lord is above all. Thank you, Lord. So all I have to do is just call the Lord. I have a problem with the enemy or anybody else. I'll call the Lord. Lord. And when he comes, that's the end of that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Remember, he doesn't say vengeance is on my angels. A lot of people call them angels. The church has been tough from the beginning. Call the angels. No, call the Lord. Call Jesus. Call the one who defeated them at the cross, who put them to shame at the cross. The first believer, it was all about the cross. It was all about the, but for years now, cross are being taken from public places. People who have cross have been taken to court. Why do you think the enemy wants to remove the cross from Christian people's land, private land? My brother insisted. Because he knows what he been defeated. He knows that the cross means his shame. That the cross means victory over him and all principality. My brother and sister. Huh? And let me know what the cross means. So he got to get the cross out of the way. Because our young people that are becoming Christians grow up without knowing about the power of the cross, the enemy has an advantage over them. My brother and sister. Because like many of us, they will be calling angels. Many of us calling angels. And angels can be overwhelmed too. I remember I shared a testimony. There was a time I was calling the angel, all kinds of principality and demon coming against me from hell. I'm calling the angels. The Lord will open my spirit to ears. And these angels and principality are over my bed, over my bedroom, fighting. And I can hear the sword, pram, 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 fighting. My brother and sister, and fighting. And they will be fighting all night long for hours. I'm praying, Lord, keep sending more angels. And they're fighting and fighting and fighting. Nothing wrong with asking for more angels. But the fire was my brother and sister. But after the Lord himself taught me, he had to teach me. He's a teacher. He's a rabbi. Why don't you just call on me? And it will be over soon. The moment I called on the Lord, the battle was over. They ran for their life like the life depended on their flying quickly and running quickly out of the way. My brother, the Lord doesn't play around. God Almighty is in control. Thank you, Lord. Call upon Jesus, and your problem will be solved, my brother and sister. If the devil coming against you and your family, call upon the name of the Lord, and you'll be safe. He'll save you. He'll save your family. Thank you, Lord. The churches here got it all around. No, call the angels. No, no, call the Lord. Read your Bible. Benjamin is mine. Say the Lord. He doesn't say Benjamin is on my angel. Benjamin is mine. Call upon Jesus. Hallelujah. You got a problem with the enemy? Call upon Jesus. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord what the enemy is trying to do to your life, to your family life, and that you want him to fight for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The enemy will be running for his life, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord, because Jesus had never lost a battle. When he defeated the principality and the power on the cross, they were shamed. And that's why the cross to them is a shame, because he put them to shame on the cross. Nothing they can do about it. They try their best fail. Their best fail at the cross. That's their shame. But that's our victory on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died. So when the devil's condemning you, the Lord died for me. Jesus died for me. Huh? He died for me. And that is a true fact anyway, in hell and heaven anywhere. You say, Jesus died for me in heaven, it is true. Jesus died for you in hell, it is true. Anywhere on the earth, Jesus died for me, it is true. It is a fact, my brother and sister, that cannot be erased. They can try, they have tried, but it's impossible to be erased. For him that condemned it is Christ who died, yet rather who is risen again. There you go. He risen again because he died on the cross, then he went down. Because he said very clearly before he was crucified, no one takes my life, but I lay it down on myself. Could you imagine? He's surrounded by all enemies, all Satan, all his demons, everybody else. And he's telling his disciples, no one takes my life. Imagine the enemy say, yeah, we're going to take his life. We will take his life. And they did everything. They lied. They paid Judah to lie. They paid witnesses to lie to take his life. They were celebrating, thinking that they killed him. And that was the biggest mistake of their life. Because Jesus, when he said, no one takes my life, but I lay it down on myself and I will raise it back again, that's what he did. He raised it back again. Went to hell, took the key from Satan. My brother and sisters, all the key he had, give it to me. They're mine now. I'm the second Adam. Praise you. You defeated the first Adam and the second Adam. Those key belongs to me. They're mine now. Nothing the devil could do. My brother insisted. He defeated them at the cross. Put them to shame. Thank you, Lord. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also make it intercession for us. This is another thing that people don't know how to use. The Lord is at the right hand of Father. Whatever problem you have, the first thing you just say is, Lord, I'm sick. Intercede for me, Lord. Before Father. Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to intercede before Father for me. Intercede, Lord, that I may be healed. Intercede, Lord, that I may recover. Hallelujah. It's okay to go to your brothers and sisters and ask for prayer. But none of us know how to pray correctly. We make that clear in Romans 8:26. We don't know how to pray correctly. We don't know. There's only one that knows, the Holy Spirit, the Lord. So why we should say, instead of going around asking people for prayer, which is okay, you could, and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to intercede for me according to the word of God that I may be healed. Thank you, Lord. And he will, my brother and sister, he will intercede. He will ask according to the word of God. We don't know how to ask that way. They know how to pray. Thank you, Lord. Even people speaking in tongues all day long don't know how to pray correctly, because if not, you still would have people praying in tongues all day long like they used to be back in the 90s, 80s, 70s. A lot of those people have given up, have quit being a Christian, because they say, oh, I pray so much and I didn't get an answer to my prayer. They got frustrated because they thought speaking in tongues all day long, that was the answer. They've been told by that by the church. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not going home in the rapture, they say. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to heaven. No, that's only a gift that certain people get, not everyone gets. My brother and sister, read 1 Corinthians 12. Read about the gift of the Spirit, that he gives the gift accordingly. He gives us accordingly to his will. He doesn't give all the same gift. He doesn't give all that they all have to speak in tongues and prophesy. That's not the way he does it, my brother and sister. But you got a bunch of people saying, oh, yeah, you have to have it. You have to speak in tongues. That's not what the Bible says. Go to the Lord about it and ask the Lord. It is according to the will. That's 1 Corinthians 12. Read it. Thank you, Lord. And that's why a lot of people get frustrated. Oh, you got to have it. You got to have it. That's not what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Hello, we're praying for your mother, Brother Joseph, and I know she's getting better. Thank you, Lord. Nothing happens to her in the hospital, we know. Thank you, Lord, because we're praying. When she was taken to the hospital, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Stay in prayer. Do fasting. Very important. All this is part of the test. Part of the test. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve. So, again, he's at the right hand of God who make it intercession. So as long as you and I know that he is at the right hand of God and make it intercession, that's what we need to know, my brother and sister, that he's at the right hand of God and he make it intercession. He's there for you and I to pray for us. As Paul said, you don't know what to ask for, Romans 8:26. In other words, you don't know how to pray correctly. Spirit will intercede for you according to the word of God. That's where you got to take it to, in prayer, my brother and sister. And God, that's the perfect. The Holy Spirit, that's the perfect. The Holy Spirit know how to pray for. Thank you, Lord. I was having a problem a few weeks ago, and I was praying, and I noticed that I wasn't getting much result. I began to ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for me in that regard. Immediately, that same night, I began to get the result I was looking for. He began to pray. He began to intercede. And the difference was like, wow. Thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, if you think you know how to pray, check with the Lord. Check with the Holy Spirit. Because he knows how to pray. The Holy Spirit knows how to pray. The Lord knows how to pray. Ask him to help you. And watch how your prayer life changes tremendously. Like, as a Christian, I didn't know. I was taught to pray. Just pray, pray. Elvie, pray, pray, pray. Okay. I did what they told me to do. So, I asked the Lord at one time, Lord, because the Lord was working with Brother Larry and I, who's in heaven now, the third heaven, third level of heaven. He's up there with Father. My brother and sister, Brother Larry and I were thinking about prayer and how to do it right, correctly. So what the Lord was teaching me is that when I ask, let's say Brother Miguel asked me for prayer about his finance, I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I begin to pray for Brother Miguel's finance, right? And I wait until I hear from the Lord that what I've been asking about Brother Miguel, the Lord will say, it is done. It is done. My brother and sister, it doesn't mean that I stop praying for Brother Miguel's finance. I got to keep praying. Although he received a great finance, firm finance from the Lord, it doesn't mean that what he received this week or this month is okay, it's enough. It doesn't mean it's enough. Now I got to keep praying for him that every month, every week, he keep receiving from the Lord, firm finance from the Lord. Where he doesn't lose that because he has a wife, he has children. You know, he helped his mother. He's faithful to the Lord. So that's how we're supposed to pray in that regard. You ask the Lord. So the Lord for years been teaching me about that. That when people ask me for prayer, like I have a list of people, I ask the Lord a lot of the time, not so much lately, but usually ask the Lord, Lord, have you answered this? Because I get a lot of report from people. Oh, a prayer that people had asked me months ago, years ago, that their Lord had already answered them. Some people have even forgotten that the Lord had already answered them and forgotten to let me know because I'm still telling the Lord about the prayer. But the Lord had already answered to so many, and so many had forgot to tell me to pray for them. So, that prayer has been answered, I'm still asking for them because of the lack of communication sometimes we have. My brother and sister. But then here it is. I asked the Lord if he had answered, and the Lord said yes to me. Lord, have you? Yes, he'll say. So that's my guidance is the Lord in that regard. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Because I go to the Lord, and the Lord tells me if he had answered your prayer in that regard. And when he says so, then I know it's done. Thank you, Lord. And I get good report from people. Oh, I had asked you for prayer. The Lord had answered me already. Or some people say, I've forgotten about it. Thank you, Lord. But I'm trusting on the word of the Lord who says to me, he already answered. I already answered the prayer. Thank you, Lord. And that gives me joy and peace in the Lord. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And every time people keep coming, we keep praying. Thank you, Lord. When Brother Joseph asked for his mom, I think it was Sunday, she was being taken to the hospital. Brother Joseph said, please pray for my mom. Is being taken to the hospital. We went to the Lord in there, my brother and sister, and we know the Lord is taking care of her. She didn't die in the hospital. Nothing major happened. She's back home. We're keeping her in prayer. We know she's going to come out good of this, whatever the word of the Lord is for this. My brother and my sister, sometimes the Lord heals a person completely. Other times the Lord takes a person home with him. Whatever the word of God is, my brother and sister, he'll give you the peace. He'll give you the joy. But we usually ask for healing. But I'm learning to ask for the word of God in most prayer. Thank you, Lord. The God will do his will. The God will glorify himself. We need to learn to seek the word of God in prayer. And that's what Paul is telling the church. In this prayer, we don't know what to ask for, my brother and sister, because God's word is in all this. For we know not what we should pray for as we are out. In other words, we don't know how to pray according to the word of God, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, but groaning, we cannot be uttered. And that's why I tell people, look, when you are reading the Bible, especially in the King James, and you find it difficult to understand what it's saying, then go, you got the complete Jewish Bible, go to there, okay? And similarly said, the Spirit help us in our weakness, where we don't know how to pray that we, the way we should. You see, there's a correct way on how to pray. Does anyone know the right way? If everyone knows the right way, it's teaching us that we don't know the right way. For we don't know how to pray the way we should, but the Spirit itself plead in our behalf. We're groaning too deep for words, and that's where we are. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us. We ask the Lord, help me, Lord, in my prayer, Lord. Hallelujah. And if you want to ask, Lord, I pray for this person. I don't know if I pray correctly, Lord, but I ask you that you make intercession for him. You can say that. That's your confidence in the Lord, that you know the Lord is there to intercede for you. And if you build on that, man, you will become very powerful in the Lord and your prayer life, my brother and sister. I said to the Lord, Lord, help me to become a prayer warrior. Because the Lord called me a prayer warrior. And I heard the word warrior. And I'm like, warrior? But the Lord said, you are a prayer warrior, he says. He wants us to be prayer warrior in him. Hallelujah. He lived to intercede. Prayer is very important to God. We need to learn how to pray according to his will. So we ask him to help us. And by depending on him to help us, we become prayer warriors. But we do it every day, constantly. I was telling my brother, look, every night the whole hammy prayer, the overnight prayer, I cannot make the excuse, I'm tired, Lord, I'm not going to pray. No. That is not a privilege that God is giving any one of us. We got to pray. And the Bible said, pray without ceasing. We need to be a responsible Christian in the Lord to pray, to fast, to commit our life to the Lord. But prayer must be a must with us. We should not make excuse to pray, my brother and sister. And a lot of us do. A man of God years ago told my pastor, prove me in the Bible where it says I need to sleep 8 hours. Because he says, I gone through all the Bible. I have not found a verse that says that I need to sleep 8 hours, he said to my pastor. I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I looked all the verses about sleep. Rest. And actually, sleep is a symbol of sin more than righteousness. Bible says God gave his people rest, not sleep. Okay? And there's a bunch of verses in the Bible, which I'm going to read some of it now. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Let me read some of it. Okay? I want to show you the verses about sleep and rest, the difference that there is. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. But let us watch and be sober. Oh, but, you know, my co-worker, he went home to sleep. I got to go do the same. My neighbor went home to sleep. I got to do the same. So-and-so went to sleep. I got to go do the same. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Sleep is a type of even sin, my brother and sister. Okay, I know, you know where the 8 hour sleep that people are supposed to get came out of rooms. The Romans were the one that first came out with that. My brother said, the Babylonian system came out with 8 hours of sleep and has been established all these years that that's the way it is. But now we go back to Genesis. I want you to go to Genesis with me. Thank you, Lord. I believe it's Genesis, 19. Thank you, Lord. I want to show you something in Genesis 19. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Genesis 19:1, and there came two angels. Let me see. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There came two angels to Sodom that evening. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself his face to the ground. And he said, behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night long. Okay? He was asking them to come into his house all night long. I want you to see the attitude of gratitude of the angels of the Lord here. And wash your feet, and you should rise up early and go on your way. And they say, nay, which is no, but we will remain in the street all night. Notice that to them sleeping in a bed, first of all, was not necessary. And second of all, they were not looking forward to doing that. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Sleep, my brother and sister, especially to the church. 1 Thessalonians 5:7. For those who sleep in the night, and those who are drunken in the night. Mark 14:39. And he came back and found them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou coldest thou not watch for 1 hour? Could not you watch for 1 hour? And that's what I remember in my ninth prayer with the Lord, that I need to pray at least 1 hour, minimum. Minimum. Could be two, can be more, my brother and sister. But the Lord comes to his disciple, find them asleep, awaken them, and he told them, could you not watch, pray for 1 hour? Could you not? Could you not? One of the disciples, here he says, watch. Another disciple said, pray. Pray. My brother and sister, why is the enemy taking advantage of people over their sleep? Temptation, fornication, adultery, and so much more. Because they got into their head, they need to sleep 8 hours. God will give his servant rest. The Bible doesn't say sleep. He'll give us rest, and he'll even give us sleep when we need it. My brother and sister, but it's not for us to always look into sleep that 8 hours, because the enemy takes advantage of that, my brother and sister. He takes advantage of that, and we need to be careful. Hallelujah. Luke 9:32. But Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and they were awake, and they saw his glory, and two men stood with him. The day, the night that the Lord was still speaking to Elijah and Moses, the disciples were heavy in sleep. It's like they still had that drill into their head, 8 hours of sleep. But even back then, remember back then, they didn't worry about catching 8 hours. But the disciples had the sleeping routine that could not be interrupted, that Jesus interrupted and told them they needed to pray at least 1 hour. My brother, it's just changing habit, changing things that you learn from your doctor, from your school, from church, from different things that are not correct, are not the foundation as a Christian that we should have. That if the Lord wants us praying one night all night long, we should be able to do it. If the Lord wants you to pray overnight, we should be able to do it. That you will only sleep, rest when the Lord gives it to you. But now you take it every time you feel like it. Because that's not what that 8 hours is about. You taking sleep. You go on to sleep every time you feel like it. And so the devil, every time he feel like it, he tempts you in your sleep and make you sin. My brothers and sisters. Luke 22:46. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He rebukes them several times for the same problem that the church is having today in America and around the world. Sleeping too much. We are sleeping too much. Always thinking of that 8 hour. To break that habit in my own life has been difficult over the years. But as a Christian, I thank the Lord for helping me, my brother and sister. Because that sleeping that 8 hours always is what leads us into much sin and temptation. Those temptations become stronger and stronger the more you give in to it and the Lord. God doesn't want us to give in to temptation, my brother and sister. When you arise from your sleep to pray, when God awakens you to pray, you'll be stronger not to fall into temptation, my brother and sister. Many have been falling into temptations because of too much sleeping. Sleep that God has not given them, they're taking it on their own. They're laying anxiety. They're laying the doctors. They're laying these men that are not serving God, that have no fear of God, telling them, you need to get more sleep. You need to take these pills to sleep. You need to do this. You need to do that. When God is not telling them to do that. My brother and sister, and the enemy is taking advantage of all this. The enemy is making many Christians to fall into temptation because they got to get their 8 hours. My brother and sister, please take this into prayer with the Lord. This is very important that you take it into prayer, that you understand that God gives us rest and even sleep. But you don't go on and take it by yourself or let the system tell you how many hours you need to sleep. No, it is the Lord, my brother and sister, that will lead us into that. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11:30. For this cause, many are weak, and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. My Lord, my God. That Corinthian church, my brother and sister, was powerful in the Lord. But then many were sleeping. Huh? It was all about getting the rest. It was about sleeping. Again, sleeping is a type of sinning. Because when you're sleeping, you're giving into temptation. The Bible says that we should resist temptation. Resist the devil, and he will flee. How are you going to resist the devil when you're sleeping and you're having dirty dreams? You're giving into it. You're not resisting it. Resisting it is rebuking it as you're casting the devil out. And you're telling the devil, no, but if you are asleep, how are you going to do that? How? My brother and sister, that's why many are becoming weak, sickly, the Bible says. Weak and sickly among you, Paul says. He told us in the Corinthians, the many. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. And that's what's happening in the church. There are many people that should be awake and watching for the coming of the Lord. They're not. They're sleeping too much. They're weak. Spiritually, they're weak. They can't rebuke anything. They can't rebuke no devil. Or no devil will flee from them. Because they're given into the flesh. Given into sleeping and given into your desire of the flesh. What do your flesh want? Sleep. Rest. Rest and sleep are two different things. God gives his servants rest. Now, I talked to the Lord about this. I said, Lord, when he revealed me through his word, he never saw to be sleeping any nights. And I asked the Lord, and he says, yes, I never did. He never saw to be sleeping any night. He slept. He rested when he needed. But going to sleep, no, he did not. Like we do every day. That's why when he says that there's a part in the Bible where he will ask, oh, Lord, where do you stay? They ask him where he stay. And he said that he didn't have no place to stay. My brother insisted that animal had place to stay, but he didn't. But the son of the man had no place to lay his head. Because he never looked forward to that, to going somewhere and sleep. He only rested when he needed it. That's why you see him in the boat. The sea is going crazy. The wind is going crazy. The disciple got scared for their life. They go to awaken the Lord. The Lord was resting asleep. Lord, awaken or we perish, they say. And the Lord, listen to this. If it was you and I, like the Lord sleeping, who have not slept all night long, and these people come to awaken you, you get up from that sleep and you say, how dare you? I've been praying all night long. How dare you bother my few hours of rest? Get out of here with that. It would have been so mad, so angry. Praying all night long, he's finally getting some rest, and they go awaken him. One of us would have been really mad, really angry. But not the Lord. Not the Lord. That's why I'm telling you, he is good, and he loves and do it forever. He gets up and rebukes the wind. And then he rebukes the lack of faith. What was he doing? Testing them. He was testing them. My brother and sister, people thinking, oh, he needed rest. If he needed rest, he would have rebuked them from waking him up. He would have rebuked them for that. But he did not show a sign of being tired, my brother and sister, because God gave his people rest. So he rebuked them for the lack of faith because they did not need to awaken him, but it was a test he was giving them. He was fully aware of what the wind was doing, because he was in control of the wind. It was him causing the wind to do what it did, to test his own disciple, my brother and sister, because he is in control of our lives. And there's nothing, everything works for the good of them that serve the Lord, which is right. It was to test our faith, and they were failing, but he rebuked them because of the lack of faith. Things that are going on in your life, you don't like it. You might be frustrated a bit, but God is using it to test your faith, to test your life, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And he knows how to work with us. Ephesians 5:14. Therefore, he said, awake, thou all sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. Where are these people that God is telling them to awake from the sleep? Sin, sleeping is a type of sin. Sleeping is a type of sin. Especially sleeping too much is equal to sinning too much most of the time. Therefore, he said, Ephesians 5:14, awake. A person that is awake is not asleep. You know that, right? Thank you, Lord. Thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He wants to give us light. My brother and sister, he wants to glorify himself in our lives. But we need to be awake in the Lord. If you're sleeping and then you're sinning in your sleep, you're not awake. You are not awake. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that rise to me that are sinning in the sleep. My brother and sister, they're sleeping too much because the system, the doctor has told them, you need to get 8 hours, even 10, if you need more. And the following instruction, the following doctor recommendation, they guess what? They're sinning. The spirit of life is down in the bottom, my brother and sister. And they don't understand why the Christian life is so frustrating, because you're giving up to your flesh. Instead of giving into your spirit, making your spirit strong, you're giving up to your flesh that is weak. The flesh is weak, but the spirit of God is willing. It is willing, my brother and sister. When the Lord came to me, when Jesus came to me and asked me to pray in my overnight prayer, I said, Lord, I don't know if I can do it. He says, go ahead and do it. He says, I want you to pray in overnight, the Lord says. And obedient to the Lord, I had to make the best of my effort. I kept falling asleep when I started praying in my overnight. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. But I used to fall asleep. Then I will be repenting next day with the Lord because I will fall asleep. My brother and sister, okay? Because my flesh, all tired, I got to guess, never used to cut in sleep. I used to sleep too much, in other words. And the Lord has to work with me on that. He works with each one of us. He's not judging us. He's helping us by disciplining us. There's a lot of Christians that are not disciplining in their spiritual life with the Lord, in their walk with the Lord. And the Lord, as a father who loves us, who disciplined his son, is disciplining us to walk with him right, my brother and sister, that we will not be walking like the heathen, that do whatever and whatever. No, we must have a disciplined life, a prayer, a fasting, and the word, a commitment to the Lord. Our Christian life is a special life that leads to eternity, my brother and sister. Must be disciplined. A lot of Christians are not disciplined. Luke 8:52. And all wept and beware her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but asleep. Notice that sleep here is a type of being dead. Sleep here is a type of being dead. A lot of people sleep so much that their spiritual life is dead. Sinning, sinning, sinning. Sinning machine. Nonstop. My brothers and sisters, and they notice that when they cut all those hours of sleeping too much and use it in prayer, use it in consecration, use it in the Word of God, their spiritual life gets stronger. They don't find themselves sinning so much. Everything changes in them. By giving up to the desire of your flesh, when you go to your doctor, physical doctor, and you ask the doctor, and the doctor says you need to sleep more, you need to get more hours of sleep, Don't follow that instruction because it will lead you to more sinning, especially in your sleep and in your life, because your flesh will take over and your spirit will be weak. My brother and sister, be careful with doctor recommendation. Be careful. Follow Jesus, our Lord. He will know what to tell you. Mark 13:35-37. Watch ye therefore, for ye now know when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight, or in a cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly and find you sleeping. The Lord, when he comes, he doesn't want to come and find his bride sleeping, he says. Read it right there, Mark 35 to 37, 13, 35, 37. Let he find you sleeping. I told you that sleeping is a type of sin. Sleeping is a type of sinning, my brother and sister. And the Lord, when he comes for his people, he doesn't want them to come finding sleeping, finding sinning, because they cannot go with him. He's holy. He says, be thou holy because I'm holy. How are you going to remain holy when you're sleeping, 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 sinning, sinning, sinning? My brothers, you won't be ready to go home with the Lord. And that's exactly what he says. Watch therefore, for ye not know when the master of the house is coming, at evening and the midnight and the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly and find you sleeping. Huh? My brother, this is in the book of Mark. He doesn't want to find you sleeping. Oh, Lord, I'm so tired. I got to get my 8 hours sleeping, sleeping, sleeping. The devil making you sin in your sleep. And the trumpet sound. You think you're going to be going with the Lord with sin in your life? God help us. God have mercy on us. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Psalm 132:4. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids, David said. Why do you think David was so committed? And he's seeking the Lord. And he's being close to the Lord. He said, I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids. Huh? You think he was sleeping all night out, all kinds of hours? No. He was watching for the Lord. He was praying. He was seeking the Lord. Most important than anything, most important than sleeping. Your relationship with God is more important than your sleeping. Your relationship with God, your salvation more important than your sleeping. Your consecration of your life is more important than your sleeping. Your relationship with the Lord more important than your sleeping. You need to understand that in the Lord, we need to keep ourselves consecrated for the Lord. But if you're sitting in your sleep, how are you? Because you're sleeping too much. How are you staying consecrated to the Lord? You're not. You are not. My brother and sister. And that's what the devil is taking advantage of. Proverbs 6:4. Give not sleep to thine eye, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Same advice of David, same advice Solomon gives. Now you tell me. Who do you think he learned this from? His own father in the Lord. My brother and sister. Because see, if he would have just given more to the sleep, he would have not been the king that he came to be. And the Lord, because it was God who raised him up. It is God who rises a man and brings a man down, the Bible says. It was God who raised him up with great honor, my brothers and sisters, and riches and prosperity. Thank you, Lord, for having that committed life to him. Proverbs 6:9. How long will thou sleep, O slugger? Why will thou arise out of thy sleep? When will thou arise out of that sleep, he says. When? When you're going to stop sleeping too much and really spending some of those hours with the Lord in prayer? With the Lord in the Word. When are you going to rebuke sleep in your body, in your life, and say, see, I rebuke your sleep. I say I'm going to pray with the Lord 2 hours tonight. I'm going to pray 2 hours, if necessary, 3. And begin to ask the Lord to help you and empower you. My brother and sister, and the Lord will help you to overcome all the sleepiness in your life. But people say, I always been like this. Time that you ask the Lord to change you. Ask the Lord to change you, my brother and sister, because the Lord can do so. The Lord is our helper. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to guide you to the Lord so you can have a greater spiritual life with Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 6:10. All ye little sleep, a little slumber, a little falling of the hand to sleep. You know, Solomon is rebuking this on the people because Solomon is trying to help the people to have a better relationship with God, which is what it's about. God has a plan to take her to heaven, eternity, with him. There has to be a consecration and a part with him, my brother and sister. This is what he's asking for. Proverbs 10:5. He that gathered in the summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. Can you imagine us causing shame? Because instead of being for the Lord, busy in the Lord, we're busy in ourselves, in our own personal life, in sleeping. My brother and sister, the Lord this morning allowed me to experience something. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I was sleeping. I fell asleep. Before an hour after I fell asleep, a demon came to bother me. It was like a test. When the demon came, I woke up quickly. I was right awake. I began to pray. The demon turned himself into a beautiful woman and wanted to talk with me and tempt me. But I was able to rebuke the demon. I was able to ask the Lord to protect me. My brother insisted, because the Lord awakened me. If I'm saying I'm too tired to pray, I'm too tired because I was already in prayer and just went to sleep, then the demon would attend to me and make me fall. But practicing to depend on the Lord to give us rest will help us, my brother and sister, to overcome the flesh and overcome that we our enemy is not flesh and blood, but principality, powers of evil of the air that we wrestle with every day, my brother and sister. And a lot of people who have not understand that this battle, this wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers of the air, spiritual forces, spiritual wickedness of the air that is always looking to attack us one way or another, especially when we are asleep. It's when they look to attack us, my brother and sister. If we had not learned to give unto the Spirit a prayer, give unto the Lord to pray, to fast, to seek the Lord, if we just give into the flesh, desire to sleep, we are going to fall into temptation. My brother and sister, hallelujah, and that is not of God. He wants us to be awake, not asleep. He says when he comes, Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness cases into a deep sleep. Idle soul shall suffer hunger. My brother and sister, Proverbs 20:13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes and shall be satisfied with bread. A lot of people, God could have prospered them much years ago. But they love to sleep so much and love to pray so little. They love to sleep so much that they only have a little time to pray because they're always sleeping. That what they've been asking the Lord to give them, they did not receive much. The Lord His mercy gave them some, but not much. Because of their lack of prayer, lack of commitment, and always loving to sleep. But the Bible said, love not to sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Notice, okay? Some people, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to close my eyes. God will provide to me my bread. That's not what it says, neither. Open thine eyes, and will be satisfied with bread. My brother and sister, it's important you understand that giving too much sleep to your life, spiritual life, to your life, is not going to help you. It's just going to make it more difficult and bring more frustration to your life. And that's why so many people are frustrated. But it's because they're giving more to the flesh than to the spirit. And then they you don't see because your eyes are closed. How are you going to see it? Always sleeping, my brother and sister. Not the will of God. My brother and sister, Proverbs 24:33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the eyes, hand to sleep. My Lord. Now, talking about the nations, Isaiah 56:10 says, his watchmen are blind, the enemy nations, all ignorant. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, laying down, loving slumber. Notice how God sees the nation, his enemy. Is that a true fact? You got to get your 8 hours, doctor would say. You got to sleep for 8 hours, even 10, 12, whatever you need. Always directing people to get more sleep. But God says about his enemy, his watchmen are blind. So my sleeping blinds people spiritually. Their ignorance, that's lack of knowledge for not being in the word when they should. Sleep, they're sleeping. They're dumb dogs, which is a spirit, it's a spiritual level of too much sin. They cannot bark. My brother insisted, sleeping, laying down, loving slumber. Oh, you got to lay down, get your sleep. Loving slumber, my brother insisted. It's a problem. It is a problem. This is difficult for people to change. I've been talking about this for years. And I see a lot of people still sleeping too much. And it's hurting their spiritual life. It's not helping them to grow in the Lord, to mature, to really come to the knowledge of the Lord. The Lord using them mightily because of too much sleeping, my brother and sister. Too much sleeping. Hallelujah. Isaiah 25:27. 25:27. Therefore, the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. He has stretched forth his hand against them. He has smitten them. They all he did tremble. The carcass were torn in the midst of the street. For all this, his anger is turned away by his hand and stretched out the hill. He will lift up and assign to the nation from afar. He will unto them from the end of the earth. Behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall they girdle up their loin, but loose nor latches their shoes are broken. Sleep, sleep, sleep is what the nation love. Sleep, sleep, sleep is what the nations are getting, my brother and sister. And it's not helping them. And it's just not helping them. The enemy is taking advantage of this, my brother and sister. Look at the leaders of our nations. Oh, this weekend we're going to go and get rest. We're going to go to Hawaii. We're going to hear there. And they go. Sending in their sleep, when they come to make laws and decisions for our country, they are confounded, they are confused, they're making wrong law, wrong decision that is not benefiting the people, but it's bringing more division and bringing family down. My brother and sister, our nation is sleeping too much. Our nation leaders are sleeping too much, and it's hurting them and hurting the nations. Because they don't have the mind now to make right decision. It used to be, my brother and sister, if you go back to the history, the foundation of this nation, just to put the Constitution together, those people were day and night, law and hour, without sleeping, praying and seeking God to make the right decision. But it took them many night and not sleep for this Constitution to be today in this nation and many nations. That leader have very little sleep. Only when God gave them sleep, they slept. In order to come on with right decision, well, good law into the nations, in order for the nation to be well, and that's why our nation became great. But the last day leaders are sleeping too much. Okay? They got the best MyPillow. They get the best comforting bed that anyone could have. And they're sleeping too much. They're sitting in the sleep. The devil is coming into the sleep and giving them nightmare. And when they come to the job, they're making poor law that doesn't fit anyone but their own pocket so they can sleep some more, my brother and sister. The result of sleeping too much is hurting our nation from the top to the bottom. But now it's been hurting the Church of Jesus. Jesus, who never looked to sleeping, all night long he spent talking to the Father. At the end of the afternoon, after he did ministry, his disciples would look for him and could not find him. He was somewhere talking to the Father all night long. I said, Lord, did you never look to sleep? And he says, no, I didn't. He never looked forward to sleeping, the Lord says to me. And I was shocked. It was a confirmation I needed, my brother and sister. Jesus never looked to sleeping. That was not something he looked forward. He looked forward to sharing the word. He looked forward to doing the will of the Father. He looked forward to serving God, but never looked to sleeping. My brother and sister, how come then the rest of the world looks for sleeping? There's something wrong here. And this is what I want you to see tonight. And as I go forward, I talk about this a little bit more here and there, because the Lord, I sure, will give me other message to preach. But a reminder that we are sleeping too much. And we need to come to the Lord to help us not to sleep too much, not to slumber too much, because it's not helping our spiritual life. I'm counting myself in the boat like anybody else. I'm not telling you you're sleeping too much. I'm saying we are sleeping too much. My brother and sister, we all need to repent. We all need to ask the Lord to help us not to sleep too much, that he will give us rest when we need it. Because the Bible says he'll give his servants rest and even sleep. When we need it, he'll give it to us. But looking forward to sleep every day is a problem that we have in our society today. And it needs to be corrected. That habit needs to be broken in the name of the Lord. Jesus came to set the captive free. When you begin to ask the Lord to break this off your life and to give you rest when you need it, and for you, I'm telling you, it's going to be hard in the beginning, because bad habits are hard to be broken. Bad habit, like sleeping too much, are hard. Look at some people who were listening to me early. When I began to talk about sleep, they got disconnected and left. Bad habits are very hard to be broken. My brother and sister, discipline is of God. God, who loves his children, will discipline us. And if we have a problem of sleeping too much, we need to take it before God. We need to ask God to help us. I'm not telling you to do this on your own. You need to ask the Lord to help you to break this bad habit of sleeping too much, or looking to sleep 8 hours, 10 hours, because that is hurting us spiritually. It's hurting our nations. It's hurting our ministry. It's hurting the gospel of being preached. That's why there's not many people preaching the gospel anymore, because people are sleeping too much. Not resting, sleeping too much. Rest the Lord will give us when we need it. But sleeping too much, my brother and sister, I remember my brother Hector de la Cruz. He preached through all his ministry. I think it was over 30 years, almost 40. And never looked to sleep one night, my brother and sister. And people who went to pick him up, to take him to different place for him to preach, he will get some rest in the car on the way. My brother and sister, some people were begging to sleep. I see business in Central America and other countries. Please, brother, you got to get some rest. You know, you just had a long flight and all that. No. I need to pray. I need to seek the Lord is what I need. Don't worry about me sleeping. You all go to sleep if you want. Stay with me. Some people will stay to 1, 2, 3 o'clock, and they were falling asleep right away. Hector de la Cruz says no. So 1 o'clock almost, he will be praying. At 12:30, he will finish his prayer, go take a shower, change his clothing and all that. They will come at 1 o'clock to pick him up, to go somewhere to preach the gospel. My brother and sister, people knew he never slept. He will say, if God gave me some rest on the cart on the way there, I'll get some rest. If not, his Lord will give me rest. And that's what he depended on. Never looking to sleep. I heard of a doctor who did a study about sleeping. And that's what this man was telling my pastor years ago. He found out that our brain, because we look forward to 8 hours of sleep every day, there's an ingredient in our brain that our body creates naturally. When we don't look forward to sleeping, our body will create it naturally, and we will have a desire to sleep all the time. The government came out with a pill for the agent that they take that will take away sleep for 7 days straight, and they take it every week. They find out that looking forward to sleep, that our brain creates naturally, that we don't need to sleep every day. Our brain is not creating it because we're sleeping too much every day. We're looking forward to sleep, so that naturally that the brain needs, it's not being created by our brain, my brother and sister. So that pill that the doctor created, that he saw that our brain needs, takes away sleep right away. person do not sleep for 7 days. My brother and sister, because they need an agent to stay up all night and do this or that. And but they find out that our body will create unnaturally. You see, Abraham not looking to sleep. You see, the Lord, when he comes to his angel, they did not sleep. I was reading about Jacob when he was wrestling with the angel. You know that Jacob wrestled with the angel all day long until day breaks? The Bible says he did not got 1 hour of sleep. And Jacob was not tired the next day. He was limping for what happened with him, but wrestling with the angel. But he was not tired, my brother and sister. And then I keep reading and find more verses where these people stay all night long, did not sleep, and it was not a problem for them. My brother and sister, let me read some of the verses. Thank you, Lord. We have about a little time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. They did not look forward to sleep, and they could pray all night long, and it was not a problem to them. Why is that a problem to us? Why do we look forward? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. To always sleeping all night long. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a problem. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. It says that Genesis 28:11, he enlightened upon a certain place, tarried there all night, because the sun was set, who took the stone and placed it and put it under his pillow and laid down in the place to sleep. You know who was giving Jacob the sleep? The Lord. Okay? I want to show you this, because Jacob, they sleep here. But their sleep was given to the Lord, which the Lord gives to us, to show him a dream from the Lord, my brother and sister. The Lord has to give him rest. Like when the Lord put Adam to sleep in order to take a rib and make Eve, the Bible said that the Lord put Adam in a deep sleep. That's anesthesia, my brother and sister. That's a doctor, like a doctor injecting that to your body, like a drugs, in order to put you in a deep sleep for surgery or things like that. But it's not that he required that. Now, where does it say that Adam and Eve slept every night? No. Actually, every time the Lord visited Adam and Eve in the garden was early, very early, my brother and sister. They were already awake when the Lord came to them and called them, my brother and sister. In the new earth, the Bible says there's not going to be any nights there. I have that verse. In the new earth, the Bible says very specifically, there will be no nights there. No nights there. No nights there. What does it say? No sleep, my brother and sister, like people are getting now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. The Lord has taken me to heaven several times. I remember one last time when he showed me the dress for the bride. It was in the middle of the night. It was nine here. And in heaven, they were all awake. They were all working, helping the Lord with all that. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. No sleep. No sleep. And no one looking to sleep neither. My brother and sister. So, verse 4, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, the top reached to the heaven. Behold, the angel of God was standing in the seventh sea. There was a revelation. The Lord behold stood and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, the father, the God of Isaac, the land where thou liest. To thee I will give us into thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread it to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee, thy seed shall all the family of the earth be blessed. Okay? Behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in the place where thou wilt goest. I will bring thee into this land. I will not leave thee until I have done which I have spoken unto thee. Jacob wake out of his sleep. He says, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. Notice that he awake out of his sleep. This sleep that God was giving him was a sleep to give him a revelation. It was not a normal sleep that he would go to sleep and sleep. This was a sleep for God to give him a revelation, my brother and sister. And that's what I'm referring to. Thank you, Lord. He will give his servant sleep, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Genesis 31:54, then Jacob offered sacrifice on the mount and called the brethren to eat bread, and they ate bread and tarried all night long in the mount. Know that he does this. He is all night long there. He's not asleep. He stays there all night long. Someone who's looking for 8 hours of sleep said, wait a minute, I already did my sacrifice. I already gave to these people. I got to get home and sleep. Well, I'll lay down here and sleep. Because that's that 8 hour injection that people have been getting for many years. I got to get that 8 hours. Jacob did not look forward to that 8 hours. He did not look forward to it like Abraham to sleep. He tarried there all night long, my brother and sister. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, look at this. Exodus 10:13, about Moses. Moses set forth his hand over the land of Egypt. The Lord brought east wind on the land all day and all night. The Lord never sleep, never slumber. All day, all night. And it was morning, east wind brought the locust. Moses was there for this miracle with God all night long. You don't hear Moses, well, I got to get my 8 hours. I got to get my 8 hours. Namala, namala, all night long. God was doing this. God had him there to call the locust. He was there all night long. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. All day, all night. And it was morning. All the new day. I say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, when we read careful, and again, if you want to go to the Amplified Bible, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's important that we study this and look into this. Hallelujah. So we can understand what God is saying to us. Hallelujah. Another judgment, Exodus 14:21, all night long. There. Another one, Exodus 40:38, all night long. The house river, all the journey. Okay? The fire was with them by night and the cloud by day. Did that look like, oh, in the wilderness, we're going to stop here and sleep? Were they looking forward to sleep the 8 hours? No. The fire was down by them by night. When they stopped and got in some rest, the fire was there. Then they will rest, and then they'll continue going. My brother insisted. They rested. God gave his servant rest. And even sleep. But God gave his servant rest. And that's what they got in. David was the man who got in rest. Remember the line that he goes to Saul? Saul was asleep in his men. A type of sin and disobedience. And David goes by nine and take the sword of Saul, cut the side of his garment, put the sword on the ground, and David leaves. David is right awake. Saul is asleep. My brother says, what do you think Saul is representing there? The sleeping generation. David represents the awakening generation, my brother and sister, in the Lord. We need to be careful with sleeping too much. Because a lot of people don't have a prayer life. They don't even have a fasting life. We got the corporate fasting Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You know how many people have dropped joining us? Hundreds? I don't know. I would say hundreds. I'm not doing the corporate fasting anymore. It was a blessing to the spirit of life. They were on fire for the Lord. What happened? Oh, they got to get their 8 hours or the 10 hours. So they don't have time to do it anymore. My brother, how are you going to set the flesh above your spiritual life? The desire of the flesh, which is supposed to be in the bottom nothing, is on top of your spiritual life. No. No, my brother and sister. Your spiritual life got to be first with God. sleeping too much is leading people to sin too much. It is not pleasing unto God. My brother and sister, may God help us. I'm not here to judge you or point finger to anyone. It's that we need to pray and ask the Lord, take that. I had asked the Lord that I could pray more, that I could stay up and pray more. And he's been helping me with that. I'm seeing the change in my own life. And I believe you can ask the same, my brother and sister. When I came to the Lord, I had a job, I remember. They had a prayer in our church at 4 o'clock in the morning to 6, to 5, and those who wanted to stay to 6. I had to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I had to get up at 2:30 in the morning so the boss from the church will pick me up so I can be in that prayer at 4 o'clock in the morning. You won't believe how much that blessed my life. As someone who always gets the 10 and 8 hours to break the habit of being at 4 o'clock in prayer with the Lord, that was very difficult. I would fall asleep. When I went to that prayer on the first day, I would fall asleep. I felt that I was offending God. God will let me know to my spirit. It was not pleasing to him that I would come into him in prayer, and I immediately was asleep. And I could feel that God was in the place. And I felt in my spirit, oh, no, I cannot be doing this. And I began to ask me to help to stay in prayer. And the Lord began to work with me and help me, because he's the one to help us, my brother and sister. And God began to set me free of bad habit of smoking cigarettes, I remember, and stuff like that, back in the early 90s. He began to set me free because he wanted to use me in the ministry also, my brother and sister. But it was with his help that he began to set me free from sleeping too much, from being committed more to sleep than to God as a Christian, my brother and sister. It was hard. Bad habits are hard to break. And this is what people don't realize. Sleeping too much is a really bad habit, really. That's been dominating. The devil has been using to dominate our lives. But once they ask the Lord to break that from them and help them to be more awake with him, they're going to find a fountain of blessing upon their lives, my brother and sister. It's just something that we need to ask the Lord to help us, that people are struggling with, that the Lord can help us, my brother and sister, so we won't be sinning too much in our sleep, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Listen, number 11:32, and the people stood up all day and all night, and the next day, and gathered the quail, and he that gathered the least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them abroad for themselves around the camp. Okay? Did this sound to you that they looked for that night to sleep? No, but they're not. My brother, in the day God does this miracle, they were able to stay up day and night, my brother and sister, for what they wanted. Imagine if you seek for what God wants, ask to be in prayer with him day and night. What a blessing it will be for us. God help us. God help us. I'm telling you, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to ask you, for all of us, to ask the Lord to help us to pray more, to stay up and pray more. Because we're sleeping too much. We are, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. We need it. And the more we do, the more we overcome that, we will find out the blessing that it will bring to our lives, that we will be more awake for the Lord. And we will be more full of God and his presence and his anointing and alive, my brother and sister. That's what has blessed me to stay up with the Lord. Bless my life and my family and the ministry. My brother and sister, I know it has blessed many people, but there are people that need to do it also in order to get the blessing from the Lord as the Lord meant them to have it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Very important that we seek to for more of the Lord. More. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Joshua 8:3. So Joshua arose and all the people of the world to go up against Ai. And Joshua choose out of the 30,000 men of Valor, send them away by night. Look, by night. My brother and sister, he did this. Hallelujah. If he was a sleeper, this victory over Ai, over Jericho, well, probably would not even happen. God wanted to do it. But you have to be committed to him. And Joshua was. Joshua was committed to the Lord, my brother and sister. And Joshua got up. Night, it was nighttime when they were supposed to go to sleep. Joshua said, no, let's get up. We're not going to sleep. We got things to do for the Lord. And send the people by night. Not early in the morning. This was by night, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is coming in the night. That's why he said that we better not asleep when he comes. He's coming in the midnight hour, my brother and sister. That's practically the beginning of the night. Joshua 10:9. Joshua therefore came to them suddenly, we're not from Gilgal, all nine. All nine, my brother and sister. Joshua was a mighty warrior for the Lord. He was not a sleeper, my brother and sister. He was awake, and he did all night long what it needed to be done for the Lord, for the benefit of the people, my brother and sister. And God blessed them, and God used him mightily. Hallelujah. They say that Moses was not used greater than Joshua. Joshua was used basically the same, because Joshua committed his life to the Lord. Moses was up in the mountain 40 days, 49. So was Joshua in the middle of the mountain 40 days and 49. Not sleeping, he was there talking with God. Thank you, Lord. In the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. Judges 6:40. So God did so that night, as it was dry upon the flea only, and there was a dew on the ground. Thank the Lord. He doesn't sleep. He that takes watching over Israel, he neither sleep. He neither slumber. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for our God who doesn't sleep or slumber, who knows that we need a watcher that watches us day and night. That is our Lord. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He watches us day and night, my brother and sister. That's why people think that they should be sleeping because the Lord is watching them. No, you should also be watching. It's a stand our responsibility. And I'll be an awakened the Lord that he wants from each one of us, my brother and sister. So we need to seek this from him. Rest, we all need rest. But always sleeping, that's a problem, my brother and sister. We need to ask the Lord to help us with that, to overcome the desire of the flesh. Because that's what sleeping too much is. It's a desire of the flesh. It's a weakness of the flesh that many struggle with. But the Lord helped them to overcome. Now we need to ask the Lord to help us to overcome it. That we're not always falling into the desire of our flesh. That's the desires of the flesh are against the desire of the spirit, the Bible says. My brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. I remember when we used to be on the radio, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. No one rushed me to close the radio. Now, people were awake. People were being blessed. It was such a blessing to stay up during the nighttime. No one complained. That we have over 40 people staying up with us. I had to close the program with 20 plus people at 2 o'clock in the morning. And no one complained of people were being blessed. There were people who are in heaven now who were willing to sacrifice their time. But they're in heaven now. Most of them are in heaven. Very few are left, my brother and sister. They lost it. Say it was such a blessing. Thank you, Lord. But things have changed. My brother and sister. But God has not changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and ever. It is for us to seek, to stay awake, my brother and sister, and ask the Lord to give us the health and the strength to do so, to give us rest when we need it, but to help us to be strong against sleep too much, that the Babylonian system who established sleeping are not establishing over our life neither. Let them establish it over the world, but not over our life. My brother and sister. So I will say to you, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord Jesus Christ give you his shalom. Shalom, shalom.
We're going to sing about the faithfulness of God. Are you ready to sing with us? We're going to sing about his faithfulness. He's such a faithful God. I've seen him show up for me in unique ways. You know, that's why I'm quite reckless when I worship. I start doing anyhow, anywhere believe it. Somebody say anywhere believe it. Are you ready to worship God with me like that? That is the kind of worship I want. So put your head, somebody scream. Woo!
Your tax refund belongs to you, not an identity thief. Over $6 billion in tax refunds were flagged by the IRS for possible identity theft in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Don't let someone else enjoy your refund. Save up to 25% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com.
Fargo, the new virtual assistant from Wells Fargo, makes banking faster and easier. Like this.
Fargo, what's my checking account routing number?
And this.
Fargo, turn off my debit card.
And this.
Fargo, what did I spend on groceries last month?
And that's just the beginning. Do you Fargo? You can. In the Wells Fargo mobile app. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/getFargo.
Terms and conditions apply. Your mobile carrier's availability and message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.